Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, your host, and thank you once again for tuning in. Today we have repeat guest Brian Reeves coming back. As I mentioned, this year is going to be about going deeper, giving solutions, things that you can apply into your life today. So it's not just concept, it's actually applied and useful and hopefully making changes that you want for the better. Brian is a coach, blogger, author. You can check out the other episode he did with us and hear more of his story. We will go through some of that today, but we spend most of the time diving in to what he calls the death gap. It's that space in a relationship where one person comes from a more logical place and the other person comes from a more intuitive place, feelings versus analysis. And it just falls into this gap. One doesn't feel they're connected. The other one doesn't think it makes any sense. And there is a disconnect that starts to happen in a relationship. Brian walks us through this and how to avoid it, how to make the changes in the relationship that you want. Just an incredible conversation. I really feel each and every one of you will get some tips. And I know I've been there, and I can't imagine that the rest of you haven't been in some version of this argument in your relationship. If you're single, it's great for going into a relationship. If you've been with somebody, very specific tools and ideas to make those changes. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to check out Brian, Brian Reeves, REEVES.com. Everything will be on my website as always, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, your host, and today we are joined with Brian Reeves. Hey, Brian, how are you today?
Hi. Hi, Laura. I'm great, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
I know. I'm so excited because you're one of the people that I just loved having on the show. I think it was 2 years ago. I replayed. I don't know if you noticed, but we put you on like best of because I thought what you said was so incredible. And so many of the people listening out there downloaded your episode. So thanks for coming back.
Cool. 2 years. My goodness. Where did it go?
Yeah. So for you guys, if you haven't checked it out, you can hear a full interview, his story. He's a relationship coach, an author of a blog, and he's got a book and really, really interesting stuff on relationships. So yeah, Brian, if, just real quick for people who haven't checked out the episode, if you could just tell us the quick story, you know, I know, of course, but I love that you started in the military and then ended up as a relationship coach. So how did
That's right. I started as the moment I was born, they enlisted me in the military. I was a baby officer. My quick 60-second bio, raised predominantly by women and well-meaning but very disoriented men with three sisters. And then I went to almost an all-male college to get an engineering degree. And then I went into the military, the Air Force. So I was oriented around what the hell it means to be a man in this life, what it means to be a man. And you know, I knew how to be very friendly with women. And because I had three sisters, I had a mom and a stepmom that really held my worlds together. I knew how to be comfortable around women, but I had no idea what a woman wanted from me in intimacy. So when I got out of the military at 26, while I was in the military, I had a girlfriend in the military. But when I got out of the military, I went traveling around the world because I was very disoriented myself and lost, and I couldn't feel anything, you know, very stuck in my head. It was probably a functioning depressant for 10 years or so that I was at university and then active duty Air Force. And yeah, at 26, I wandered the planet for a few years and ended up marrying a French woman in Bordeaux, France, just 5 weeks after we met. And that I call that would become my catastrophe spectaculaire, which if you don't speak French, it means, which you probably figured out, means my spectacular catastrophe. And that really set me on a path to do this work many years later. But and that's my quick 60-second
yeah, bio. Yeah. No, and what I love, and again, like check out the full interview to hear his full story, but I have a son, he's 12. And I think that most of us underestimate the complexities of the male experience and how you're just bringing a voice to that inner emotional state and dialogue and how guys get there and how it's not working with women. And I just think it's just really powerful because so few guys, I think, go here. It's not something that you find is common, right?
Thank you. Yeah, no, as I work more and more with men, and just as I continue to evolve in my own journey, just the fact that we men have no rituals that intentionally initiate us into a mature, responsible adulthood, manhood, is tragic. I mean, most of us men continue to live an extended adolescence well into our 40s, if not for our entire lives. So, you know, I'm now 43 years exquisitely aged. You know, I've been doing my inner work for many, many years, but I see this more and more as I work with couples. A lot of times, like, the crisis for men really begins in their late 30s. And it's almost always, oh, it's so often, at an intimate relationship is the catalyst for their crisis, for their like, it's okay, it's time to either become an adult and be responsible or choose to stay in your adolescence. And it's almost always an intimate relationship that creates that, the tension for that to happen. And that certainly has been my case.
Well, so again, for you guys who haven't checked out like the sneak preview of what we're doing this year, I want to remind you that this was all about going a little deeper, giving you more insights and hopefully ideas of what you can do in your life to make these changes. Because I think for, you know, people listening, it's either you're married to a man or if you're in a same-sex relationship, the masculine feminine energies exist there as well. If you are a guy, like, we wanted to talk about this at a deeper level and sort of, you know, have Brian share the ideas that hopefully you can apply in your life. So we were talking a little bit about this idea that I'm fascinated with, and I think everybody else will be as well, but that there's a deep misunderstanding between this feminine, masculine, or in my world, I talk about it, the logical brain, the thinking, the analysis versus the deeper intuition, right? You guys hear me talk about that all the time. And this struggle between wanting to make sense of the world and then intuiting the world happens in relationships. And some people are more organized towards intuition and some people are more organized towards logic. Talk to me a little bit about what are the common mistakes people are making? What are the ways in which this is falling apart in relationships and what can people do about it?
Yeah. And I like the way that you frame it. I often use the terms masculine and feminine, which I know can be triggering for people. And just to clarify, I probably will use these terms in this conversation, but I'm not talking about what genitals you have. It's independent of your genitalia. Right. Every human, we all have both energies, but there's a reason that you don't choose your best buddy to do intimacy with. You may have a beautiful intimate relationship, but it's not a sexual intimacy with your best buddy. Even if you are married to someone you would consider your best friend or with someone who's your best friend, what keeps you together in intimacy and what creates sexual polarity is what makes you different, is your differences. It's what makes you interesting to each other is when something is very different about you. And that, the way that I, the map that I really enjoy using because it's been so enlightening for me, like, why the hell didn't somebody teach me this 25 years ago, is this frame of masculine and feminine intimacy, yin yang, whatever you want to call it. But the big misunderstanding that we've all been sold and continue to be sold is that we're all supposed to be the same. Yes, we are absolutely equal, but the same, again, we don't choose the same someone who is exactly like us to partner with because that would be boring. Wouldn't be exciting. We wouldn't want to have sex. We don't want to have sex. You know, I don't want to have sex with my best buddy. I love that man, but I don't want to have sex with him ever. My partner, she is vastly different from me. She's way more emotionally feeling oriented. And I, in fact, I call her the feeling fighter in our relationship. I'm more the freedom fighter. And this, I'm starting to hint at this frame of masculine and feminine values. And this was what was very revolutionary for me, Laura, that as I work with people and help people expand their awareness to what's really happening in their intimacy, light bulbs start popping off and they go, oh, shit, that's what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. I have language now to explain it.
That's right. I have language. And also, I understand, okay, got it. You're operating at a fundamentally different value than I am.
So give me an example of what that means in real life. So I'm thinking about a relationship and one has extreme, like, again, feminine or intuitive energy. One has deeper feelings. The other has more logic, right? Like a mapped out brain. What's the difference and what are the challenges? Why has this become a problem if this is what you're attracted to?
Right. So I'll frame it like this. And this is what I learned, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago when I first started studying David Deida's work, is that the masculine value, or you could say that even the value of logic, is to seek freedom. We're seeking freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from problems. We're using our intellects to fix things, to figure out something so that we can then be free of whatever constraint that problem was affixing us into, was burdening us with, right?
So I'm having an Oprah aha moment. That's good. I love that.
Exactly. I mean, all of the so-called masculine domains, you know, whether business, politics, science, even athletics, they're all about solving problems. They're all about resolving some tension that exists where we haven't quite figured out our way through and resolving it so that, you know, whether it's passing a law or solving a math problem or trying to, you know, figure out how to build a better iPhone or just try to figure out how to score a goal and beat the defense and score a goal. All of those so-called masculine activities are how can I figure out how to solve a problem so that, you know, I love sports because it's such a beautiful representation of where this happens. You know, a team scores a goal in basketball, they, you know, five guys figure out how to get a ball into a net past five other guys. And the moment they do that, the whole crowd, everyone goes batshit crazy. They're so happy for half a second until the other team then just runs up the court and tries to do the other way.
Uh-huh. And so you're getting freedom. You're getting freedom from
That's
this
right.
problem. You're fixing it. You're on the other side of it. But
right.
I feel like I'm catching up with you. So when that comes to feelings.
Right. Well, see, the feminine value is very complementary. Another word for complementary is opposite. The feminine value is connection. Connection to life, connection to self, connection to each other, connection. And the feminine, you talk about intuition and what is intuition, but what do I feel? What feels true for me? Never mind what my logic would tell me, but what is my body aching to say, go this way, go that way, right? We call feminine logic is not rational, let's say. We might use the word irrational, which here we go. Here's the fundamental misunderstanding in relationships between them in the masculine and feminine dance is, again, so let's make this practical. In your relationship, if you're listening or whether you're single or you can think to your past relationships or you're presently in a relationship, one of you is probably more allegiant to what you feel. Right? The feelings that are present in the space, both in your body and in your partner and between you, one of you is much more concerned about, do I feel connected with my partner? The other of you is probably much more concerned with, are we solving the problems that we're faced with? Whether the problems be money or food, you know, logistics, finances, just the details of life.
Mm-hmm. And not just how do I feel connected, but do I feel connected to myself when it comes to you, right? Like what's my intuition saying in each moment?
Absolutely.
Of my feelings towards you. And it's not necessarily based on anything, right? So then it's maybe, right? It's just the end of the conversation.
You just spoke the masculine.
Exactly.
You just spoke the masculine. It's not based on
that's
anything.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what the other side would say, right? Is it's just, that's what it is. And when I talk about authenticity with people all the time, I try to get them to connect to that part and trust that that's enough, right? Like if I have that sense, if I tap into my intuition, that's the compass, that's the guiding light and the principle. And then we want to use the logic and stuff to steer ourselves around, but yeah.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what I believe is we're all evolving, or we can evolve if we choose it, but I think we're all evolving to really, really being at the mastery of both our intuitive and logical capacities and really using, I believe, primarily in using our logic to serve our intuitive knowing, right? We have an intuitive knowing, using our logic to figure out then, okay, how do I take action on that? But it's a dance. And bringing it back to intimacy, one of the real common mistakes that I see, and I am as tempted at this, and I do this probably all the time in my own relationship, but so whichever partner is more kind of logic loyal, I call it the freedom fighter. Again, I'm the freedom fighter in our relationship. I'm constantly trying to free us from the burdens of whatever problems arise. But what happens is when my partner doesn't feel good, or she's feeling some disconnect, or she's like, there's some emotional disturbance in the force, if you will, and she's bringing that up. Well, what happens is I immediately go into, uh-oh, we're not free right now. I need to free us. But the mistake that I'll make is I think by using logic, I can free her from whatever problem she's just often invented in my thinking.
Right.
You just made this up. This isn't real. What do you mean you haven't felt connected to me in a week? That's not real.
Right.
We don't have any actual problems.
I'm standing right here. What's not connected? Right. Right. And this is where the disconnect begins. And there's a desire to make sense of that instead of just, so, okay, I don't want to even... What do you do in that moment? So here we are. I don't feel connected. It's been a week. It's my feelings. And the freedom person wants to put a frame to fix that. How do you get out of this circle?
Well, on the other side, though, what also can then happen is the person who really wants to just feel connected, the mistake that they'll tend to make is they think that if my partner will just connect, then we'll be okay again. But they don't realize that their partner isn't really that connection occurs differently for them. Here's the way that I language it. So in other words, if you're with a more masculine partner, or you want to be, you've got to know that when you help your partner feel free, they will feel connected to you. When you help your partner feel free, then they'll feel connected to you. And on the other side, if you're with a more feminine person who's more intuitive, more feeling oriented, when you help them feel connected, then they'll feel more free.
Okay, so then this is the $1 million question. Can you help everybody out there listening? What actually do you
what
do?
Is that? Yeah. What do you do? Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
Right? Like, I think the devil in the details there is the.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. That sounds poetic and lovely language, but what the hell does it actually mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm standing there and I want to help you feel free. What do I do?
Right. So. That's why it's good to notice. Okay, this is why I love using this map, because if you don't know what the hell's going on, what happens is you're the partner who wants to connect, and you're telling your partner, I want to fucking connect, but you're never saying those words, or you might even be, and they don't know what you're talking about because we don't have any real problems. So what you have to, you know, if you're on that side, if you're really just wanting to connect and you see that your partner is trying to solve a problem, right? They're trying to fix something. They're trying to make you happy, but it's not working because you don't want them to just make you happy. You just want to fucking feel connected. What you can do is take a step back and realize, okay, wait a second. Right now they're trying to solve a problem, which means they don't feel free. So I need to remind them, hey, there's nothing you have to fix here. You didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong. I love you. I'm here. I'm happy with you. That's a big one. I'm happy with you, because the moment you tell that more masculine, kind of logic-oriented person, I'm happy with you, I love you, I'm happy. Like, on the big grand scale of things, everything's okay. Immediately you tell their nervous system, oh, I can relax. There's not a problem I have to solve here. And when you're doing intimacy well, what we're doing is we're really managing each other's nervous systems, right? We're using language or touch or some form of communication, whether verbal or nonverbal, to help each other rather than going into our triggers. And one of the two of the biggest triggers in relationship is the masculine trigger is the fear of being controlled, being told what to do, being trapped. And the feminine fear is the fear of being abandoned, of being disconnected from in a very painful way. So if you're speaking to that more logic-oriented person, reminding them, hey, nothing we have to fix here. Nothing we have to fix here. Just nothing to solve, nothing to fix. I'm okay. You know, even if you are feeling all kinds of feelings and you're hurting and you are feeling disconnected and all, but honoring their kind of helping to relax their nervous system to let them know, hey, you don't have to solve this. Just be here. Because all you really want is for them to just fucking be present with what's happening.
Right. But what I'm hearing you say is that you can't get them to that place that you need them to be if you don't first address that there's a fundamental difference here and meet them where
exactly.
they are first so that they can meet
Absolutely.
You where you are.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
And
yep.
And it only takes one person to break the cycle of, I call it the relationship death gap, this gap between sort of the logic and the feelings, that miscommunication that inevitably happens. Because, man, I'll just use he and she just to represent masculine and feminine. But again, this could be he and he, or she and she, or the woman could be more masculine and a man can be more feminine. It happens that way as well. But as he is trying to, he thinks that, hey, if she'll just see it my way, if she'll just see the logic my way, we'll both feel free and this will be over. And on that side, he's completely missing the point that no, it's not going to be over until she feels connected again, until she feels like you're present. The moment that she feels him present, like I am with you, I am in this, I am steeped in this with you. I'm here, baby. I'm here.
Okay.
It's all well.
Let me ask you this, because I think a lot of people who are on the freedom logic side, so they get their few sentences to calm the nervous system down, but then this next step of like, I'm here, how do they get there without that judgment? Because I work with a lot of people who are pretty logic based, and yeah. You know, there's a visceral discomfort with sitting around in the feelings and the intuition, right? Like I hear this constantly from my coaching clients and, you know, getting people into their intuition, just leaving it, letting it be. What are some ways that they can do that that doesn't conjure up this, you know, this discomfort of soul almost?
Well, here's the thing. This is the beauty of intimate relationship. And this is why a more logical person would choose a more feeling person. Because when you choose a partner, what essentially you're doing is saying, hey, I want more of that in my life. I want more of what you bring in my life. And the tragedy of a lot of relationships is that's what we say, I want more of what you're bringing in my life. But then when you bring it, you're like, oh shit, I don't want that. Fucking clamp down. Stop it.
Absolutely. Right. Because I don't think people stop to acknowledge that they do want it. Right. They just have an attraction, but they haven't put words to it. Or
there's a wound. Most of us have had our feelings guilted or shamed out of us as children, especially boys, but a lot of women as well. But that's half our humanity. I mean, that's the beauty of intimacy, and it's the fusion of masculine and feminine. It's not just, let's just only do masculine energy in our intimacy. That is, the metaphor I use is building a castle that has no life inside of it. A lot of us, we can build castles. That's the masculine kind of structure that we're always building. We want to make it the work and the money and the home and the details of the sort of structural aspect of life. But if we don't allow for feminine energy to abound, to flow, and feminine, she is the whole range of emotional experience, of feeling life. If we don't allow for her to be present, then there's no life in the castle. We have a beautiful castle that's dead inside. And a lot of relationships become that because they're so afraid of discomfort. In fact, one of the things that I'm constantly working with both men and women is allowing for the discomfort, learning how to be with discomfort. Yeah, it's really fucking uncomfortable. I've experienced it all the time because they're put into training me to not feel. Right. But most of us get that training in some form or another anyway, growing up in this culture. Feelings just get away.
You have a child, you know, I bring this up with clients all the time, or you're around children. We were born able to express so clearly. You know, you don't have to ask a kid, hey, do you like pizza? They jump up and down, yes. And you're like, are you sure? And yes, you know, and they scream, they get happier and happier the more you push into them. But if I said, hey, Brian, I saw this movie this weekend and I really liked it. And if you started to push into me and say, really, you liked it? Why? I read an article. I would start to doubt myself within no time because I'm so uncomfortable with expressing my feelings and leaving them just as is. And it is what it is. It doesn't need to always be rethought or, you know, questioned.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's the real, what keeps a relationship dynamic and exciting and playful and sexy and fun and always keeps us coming back like, whoa, what's going to happen next? It is that feminine aspect of change and dynamism and emotion. And, you know, I would joke with my partner, she's very emotional. She experiences all of the emotions in a day. You know, I have a good cry once every few years. You know, she has a good cry once a day. And, you know, I have this joke about how I want her. When it comes to connection, she feels connected with me when, you know, I'm emotionally present. I'm in my body. It's this very complicated and elaborate definition of connection. And I feel connected to her when she's happy.
Right.
Just when she's happy.
Right.
It's the old saying, you know, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. So you mentioned the way that the feminine intuitive side talks to the logical side about how to create space and calm the nervous system. How does the logical side of the relationship, what do they say to help the more intuitive?
I teach a whole distinction around, because for the logical side, it's actually much easier to see how to not create connection. All the things we do that, all the ways that we respond that don't create connection in the moment. It's almost like we have to see that first. For example, I'll give you one example. We like to educate, right? So that's the ones I'm tempted because I have so much information and so much insight. When my partner's upset about something, it's so easy for me to say, oh, well, you know, babe, the masculine responds this way. And it's very natural that because you're experiencing this, your feminine energy is like, eh. She hates it whenever I would do that. But it's so tempting because it's, you know, it's, we call that mansplaining, I suppose. It's just information. And again, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, look, if you just understand how this works, you won't be mad at me anymore. Well, you'll be free. I'm freeing us with information. It never works. It always.
So it's more like a list of things not to do than exactly what to do?
Well, there's a two-step process about what to do, but I find that most of us we can only access that because we don't believe it. Because Winston Churchill said something about the Americans, and I think it applies to us logical folk as well. He said, the Americans can always be counted to do the right thing, but only after they've exhausted every other option. And I think us logical folk, we need to exhaust all of our logic until we just finally get to the point. It's like, okay, I fucking give up. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what you want from me, right? We need to get to that place without the frustration though. So, because what we can say to a more feeling partner that will help settle their nervous system and help them feel connected, it's very simple. It's just can acknowledge their feelings. Just, okay, your feelings are welcome. Whatever you're going through right now, it's okay. I'm here with you in it. You have every right to feel that. And that's where most of us get stuck because we don't think she or he has any right to feel that.
That's right. I don't even feel the right to say I like that movie, right? So how exactly. Do I have a right to all my feelings? And then right. How do I just leave it there? Right? That's the big challenge. Right. You have a right to your feelings and stop talking instead of, and now let's go fix that, right?
Well, and that's the thing. See, if you're talking to another masculine person, you know, two masculine people talking, like we can't move forward in the conversation until we agree on a logical foundation for what we're talking about. We can't agree. It's like, you know, it's like two different religions trying to agree on what God is. You can't do it because you can't get to a logical understanding. So, or politicians, the same thing. The reason we're so stuck is because we can't move forward. We don't agree on a logical framework. And the same thing happens in relationships. If you're trying to agree on a logical framework to move your intimacy forward, well, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So rather, we need to remember is that creating connection is the way through any conflict, staying connected first. Like we can't move in that feminine masculine dynamic. We cannot move the relationship forward until we connect.
Mm-hmm. And that's about allowing those awkward feelings to sit.
That's right.
And not change. And again, for everybody who's listened to me go on for 2 years on this podcast, it's the same thing with trusting your intuition and making a step in new career. And, you know, people ask me all day long, I don't know what I want. I want a new career, but I can't answer that question. It's the same answer. We don't trust the intuition. We don't sit with those feelings first. We just keep pounding into our brains looking for answers. And it doesn't get you there alone.
That's right. It doesn't. And that's why I love doing intimate relationship work and working with couples and even individuals trying to make sense of all this. And because it is a container within which we really discover our own wholeness, our own internal masculine and feminine capacity, our capacity to logic and reason balanced with our very deep feminine wisdom, you know, our emotional feeling wisdom. I mean, it's Oh my gosh. I mean, there's a whole rabbit hole we could go down there, Laura. I know we want to keep this short today, but anyway, I love this. I love this topic, especially that former Air Force captain.
I know, with a healthcare tech entrepreneur talking about, right? But I think both of us lost that connection, right? I think this is the thing we've bonded over the years knowing each other. And it's just, you know, so many people go out and you find success and you maybe get that relationship, you have the kids, everything in your life looks a certain way, but you've lost all connection to that deeper self and you wonder why you don't have that fulfillment, why you don't feel a certain connection to your life or intimacy as you're talking about in your relationships. And it's, you can't. And like, I love that metaphor you used of the building a castle, because the compass, the light within, the part that is our deeper self. I always quote the T.S. Eliot poem, the still point in the turning world, like that part within us that's alive. We can't point to it. We don't know what it is, but we say that gut instinct, whatever. If you don't stay connected to that and build that muscle over, you know, time and learn to trust it, right? That to me is the number one challenge, right? Is we've decided that it is not just a second class citizen to our minds, but I mean, way downstream. And so, and then there are these other people who trust it implicitly. And so when you run across those types, it's very confusing and there's a disconnect there. Brian, love it. I feel like, yes, there's a rabbit hole. We're going to just dive down here, but any closing thoughts for people listening, if they're home right now, they're in this relationship, they're in this death gap, they're thinking, oh my God, this is me. I'm going to go home tonight. Yeah. I need to make that change. Is it just learning how to break that cycle?
Yeah, I think you've got to ask yourself, are you interested in growing as a human being? And is your partner? Because if you or your partner, you're not interested in growing, then, well, it's like they say, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So if you're stuck, then perhaps what I'm sharing here, what I'm pointing at, if it seems like it offers a ray of hope or a ray of light or just something interesting, well, explore more what I'm talking about. I mean, I have a website where I write all about this stuff. There's all kinds of, one of my main teachers is David Data. Michaela Boehm is another woman that I've studied with who's amazing. But this has been life-changing for me. It's the reason that I'm, you know, I'm 43, but I'm really in the first successful relationship of my life, you know, 2.5 years now with my fiance. And it's such an exciting conversation to explore when we stop expecting our partner to be just like us and we learn to really embrace the differences and communicate with them in ways that will serve them. Everything can change.
I love it. Brian, if people are looking for you, they want to learn more about your work, where can they find you?
Yeah. So my website, Brian with a Y, Reeves, Reeves.com. And I'm doing a program, a 90-day program called From Conflict to Connection for Couples. That's a new work that I'm launching this year. It's a 90-day experience of teaching, like all that I've doing an even deeper dive into what we've started to uncover here. Lots of different distinctions and insights and tools and practices to help people navigate. My sole mission, Laura, in all this work really, is to bring us back from the adversarial dance we do and help us become partners again.
Love it. Love it. That's what everybody wants too, right? And so in all the relationships, you wouldn't be in a relationship if your hope wasn't to come together. And I think most of us have been taught algebra in school, but nobody taught us how to relate, you know?
Nobody taught us about love.
They did not. Nope. They did not. Or authenticity or truth or being in your deeper self. Thank you so much for joining us. I love chatting with you.
Absolutely, Laura. My pleasure. Thank you.